And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope everything is going well for you and yours. I hope everybody's well out there. Trust that you have not contracted this coronavirus, that if anybody you know has, that they are being properly treated, that they are quarantining, and that they are even better, or already over it, already well. You know, there's some discussion about using the antibodies of people who have had it as a way to, with blood trap plasma treatment, as a way to treat those who already have it. So we've got a lot of people, obviously, who have had it and had minor symptoms or no symptoms, and their bodies presumably have produced antibodies to fight off the virus, and those people can be a big help to others. So no matter what the circumstance you may be facing, or your family may be facing, or people you know might be facing, I trust that it will end very, very well for you, and we're praying for you. Our network is praying for you. All of our hosts are praying for you, and we believe we're going to come out of this on the other side doing just wonderfully. A lot of lessons are going to have to be learned, of course, but look, I am absolutely committed to this truth, for we know that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord, for those who are the called according to his purpose. And you know and love God, and you've been called according to his purpose. I don't think that scripture means God does everything that happens. I think it means he works everything that happens, you know, for our good. And praise God for that. That means those of us who believe in him, even something as horrendous as this coronavirus and the reaction to it, are going to work out for our good. How can God do that? Well, he can do things that only he can do, can't he? So folks, we're praying for you. Please be praying for us, because obviously we're walking this out and working it out and trying to help our staff and all of those who are working with us to be safe throughout this period and not to take any undue risks. So please be praying for us as well as we are praying for you. Now, folks, this is going to be somewhat of an unusual program, because I have a topic to introduce today that I had no idea I'd be introducing. But I've been saying, I think from the beginning of this thing, that I'm concerned that this gets used for nefarious purposes. This meaning this communist Chinese Wuhan virus gets used for nefarious purposes. We've had some things happen here. Well, we see what the left is doing, trying to attack the president of the United States at every turn. Ilhan Omar is demanding that checks be sent to illegal immigrants. Yeah, folks, if you can believe it, she's demanding that we pass some more legislation to send money to illegal immigrants. Climate activists are saying what we're doing with the coronavirus is exactly what we need to do about climate change. We need to have some sort of major shutdown, that's the only way we're going to save ourselves. As you all know, there is a lot of debate going back and forth now between the president and the World Health Organization, because they seem to be the wholly owned subsidiary of communist China. Well, maybe we should say of communist China and Bill Gates, because Bill Gates has got a lot of money invested in the World Health Organization, and a lot of money invested in the National Institute of Health as well, and has contributed $100 million to Dr. Fauci's organization, which I think is the National Institute of Health. So he and Fauci, Dr. Anthony Fauci, have been compatriots for a long time before this whole thing broke. I don't think it is exaggerating at all to say that Bill Gates is a benefactor of Dr. Anthony Fauci, and I think there's some conflict there. And that's what I want to get into today. I never expected to go here, because as you all know, I'm not a conspiratorial thinker. I think, well, look, I'm not saying there aren't conspiracies, right? I know they exist. But I just don't think that's the easy, glib answer to everything that's going on, because when people share a common set of values, they don't really have to get into a room and conspire. Very often, their values lead them, take them to the same place. Although they're perfectly capable of conspiring too, it's often not necessary because they're kind of all marching to the same tune, so to speak. Well, folks, here's something I did not know that I found shocking. And you all know, I've triple-checked this to be sure that what I'm sharing with you is correct. Let's see, I've got time to get into it. Before this virus, this pandemic broke out, as you all know, Bill Gates has used his vast wealth. He is considered to be the second wealthiest person in the world. I forget exactly what he's worth now, but 50, 60 billion, I don't know what it is. But he has used his vast wealth to invest in a number of projects through this foundation. Well, this foundation is not really like normal foundations where they're just giving to charities. I think Bill Gates is actually using his foundation money to advance his agenda. And Bill Gates, let's make no mistake about it, folks. Bill Gates is a creature of the left. He is a creature of the left. And one of the things that he invested in some time ago is a little project called ID 2020. ID 2020. It is a Bill Gates funded project. And what ID 2020 is, folks, is a methodology, a technology that is intended to implant or impose upon the skin through what they call digital tattooing an ID that would be with a person from the time they are born until the day they die. And that ID would be the key to all of their personal private information, their healthcare information, their financial information. Everything about that person would be contained in this digital ID that could either be a capsule implanted under the skin or a digital tattoo that could be tattooed onto the body. Yeah, it's called ID 2020. And here are the things that they are going for. Number one, it's private. They want it to be private so that you control the data that is contained in your digital ID. They want it accessible so that you can access it for any number of different reasons, medical, financial, travel. Basically, it's a way of tracking your own life. It also means that you could be tracked, persistent from life to death, and unique. It's in your body. It can never be taken by anyone else. The motive for this is to help all the people around the world who have no basic ID or way of being identified. This is to help them. And apparently there are about 1 billion people worldwide who live without any kind of digital imprint. But this can be used on every single person on the face of the earth. Well, guess what? It appears that this is going to be the means by which we track the people who have been tested positive for coronavirus and then ultimately tested negative for it. And these digital IDs will be used to track them from that point forward, to see how they do, to see whether they recover, to see whether they get the virus again. Once, of course, implemented, this will not just track the person for a period of time, but can be used to track that person for the rest of their lives. Yeah, ID 2020. Let's talk about that when we get back.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
The U.S. Constitution reminds us that the responsibility for our government rests with we the people. In order for us to be effective, we need to know something about our government and our history. Citizens in countries ruled by dictators don't need to know very much since the major decisions are made for them, but we Americans should be educated and informed. Unfortunately, we are not well educated and informed. A study done by the Woodrow Wilson National Fellowship Foundation discovered that only 1 in 3 Americans could actually pass the U.S. citizenship test. And I might add that you only have to get 60% of the questions right in order to pass the test. For example, a majority did not know how many justices serve on the Supreme Court. Nearly 3/4 could not accurately identify which states comprise the 13 colonies. And only a quarter even knew why the American colonists fought the British in the Revolutionary War. Most disturbing was the fact that young people perform worst on the test. You might excuse an elderly person for forgetting some facts about government or history, but less than 1 in 5 under the age of 45 could pass this test. In previous commentaries, I've proposed a solution that some states have considered. Require students to pass a citizenship test before they graduate from high school. Consider the fact that a naturalized citizen probably knows more about America's history and structure of government than someone who was born in this country. Young people in America cannot pass a citizenship test for one of two reasons. Either they weren't paying attention in class or they weren't taught this material in the first place. Let's require students to pass a citizenship test before graduation. We require it of people who want to be American citizens. Why not require it of students who are already citizens because they were born here? I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. But great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So yes, they can help share your needs too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Brian Fisher here. Dr. Birx admits our health authorities fudged the numbers to make coronavirus seem worse than it is. A late-night comedian thinks people who believe in Jesus and own guns are hypocrites. Trump is absurdly accused of having a financial motive to push chloroquine. And Obama officials knew in 2009 they didn't have enough respirators. Next on Focal Point.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. And folks, we've been talking about this communist Chinese Wuhan virus crisis that we are going through. And I've talked about a lot of the micro issues, micro meaning, you know, the harassment sometimes that people end up going through, and these governor's orders and mayor's orders and threats against churches and all of this. I'm looking now at the macro issue, and a macro issue I did not realize was even going on, because Bill Gates started this ID 2020 several years ago, but is now seeking to implement this as a way of tracking people who have either had the virus or tested positive with the virus, or are already cured of the virus and tested negative, or been vaccinated with the virus. And basically, these mechanisms that he would use would be called digital certificates, either what's called a quantum dot tattoo. And this quantum dot tattoo would be tattooed onto the body through a dissolvable sugar-based microneedle that contains fluorescent copper-based quantum dots embedded inside biocompatible micron-scale capsules. And these microneedles dissolve under the skin and leave an encapsulated quantum dot or dots or pattern of dots that can then transmit information or contain information. The other way is a microchip implant into the human body. In fact, he's also, as part of this project, he's funded some research at MIT to use a birth control microchip implant that would allow women to control contraceptive hormones in their bodies. You can tell where that's probably going in terms of abortion. And this is a real situation, folks. This is not you know, tinfoil hat crazy. Oh, that's nuts. No, this is actual technology that is being developed and may well be implemented during this coronavirus. This is another instance in which this thing is being used. This crisis is being used to advance a totalitarian socialist control agenda. And here again, Bill Gates is a creature of the left. There should be no mistake about that. He's been calling for a massive nationwide shutdown, and now we find out that he's also trying to promote these microchip implants or quantum tattoos to identify people. And these things can ultimately be used to track people literally from birth to death. Now, you know, folks, I have read the book of Revelation on many occasions, and I'm always struck by the passage that talks about the Antichrist taking absolute control over the earth and requiring the people. In fact, I've got it right here. It's in Revelation 13, verse 16. It says, "He," meaning the Antichrist, "causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." Now, look, when that was written, which was nearly 2,000 years ago, it was completely and totally unimaginable that any leader would have the ability to track any person based on a mark on their bodies. Because you can't be anywhere near everybody, and you don't have the ability to see everybody, and you don't have the ability to know everybody. But we are now living in the era in which we have the technology to literally, folks, literally track every human being on the face of the earth. It could be done. We have got the computer software power to do it. And now we're finding out that thanks to Bill Gates, we've got the technology being developed to do it. And now as a result of this communist Chinese Wuhan virus, we've got the incentive to do it. Now they tried to implement this already in Denmark. And guess what happened? The Christians in Denmark, however few there may be, but the Christians in Denmark rose up in arms and protested and said, this is unconscionable, it is immoral, and they had to back off. But see, in a crisis where everybody's guard is down, where everybody thinks, well, you know, we have to do what we have to do in order to get through this, and we don't want to get technical, we don't want to be that concerned about, we've got to give government and give these people latitude to do what needs to be done. No, we don't. Not insofar as what they want to do violates our fundamental constitutional, civil, and human rights. Not insofar as what they want to do sets us up with precedent and later the ability to control us. We don't have to go along with that. Now, folks, that's chilling to me. And you know, it confirms what I've said about Bill Gates having his financial fingers in Fauci, in the World Health Organization, and all over the place. And somebody called and asked yesterday, what is his motive? And you know, I think, frankly, folks, it's the spirit of Antichrist. And no, I'm not saying that Bill Gates is the Antichrist, but the spirit of Antichrist, which is what? I want to be God. I will control. Satan said, I will set my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. I will preside over the congregation in the mountain of the East. I will be in charge. I think it's that God complex that people get that makes them think that they know so much, they have so much, they are so much, that they deserve to control everything and everybody else. No matter how well-intentioned it may seem, folks, no matter how apparently altruistic the motives may be, or that they may enunciate, in the end, this stuff is evil. And while we're going through this crisis, and I've said, look, I think that this, obviously this virus is real. I think that this virus does make people sick and that it does kill people. Although I did talk to another medical doctor today before I came on the air, talked to a medical doctor who gets these reports that only doctors get. And he told me that he has confirmed that anybody who dies while having the coronavirus has their death attributed to the coronavirus, even if that's not really what killed the person. He said, so the numbers are definitely inflated. We just don't know by how much because nobody's called them on it. So wait, we need to distinguish between people who happen to have the coronavirus when they pass away and people who actually pass away as a result of having the coronavirus. He said, and those distinctions are not being made right now. But that aside, every death is still tragic and this thing is real. But what I've been argued all along is that it should not be an opportunity for us to cast aside our constitutional rights and freedoms. It should not be an opportunity to cede to government authority that it does not have. Just read an article earlier today about a father out at the park with his children. He's thinking in full compliance with the rules of his state. Let me pull that up real quick. He's thinking in full compliance with the rules of his state, and the police come along and arrest him in front of his children. Arrest him. This is in Brighton, Colorado. The police arrested him in a public park. He was playing t-ball with his wife and six-year-old daughter, just three of them together. And he was arrested. And they told him they didn't have a right to be out. He told them, I read the rules. And my understanding is that you can be out for, you know, minimal recreational activity, that kind of thing. He said, well, if I'm walking, hiking, biking, running, similar activities. He said, as far as I'm concerned, this is just a similar activity. We're just out, you know, recreating a little bit. And he was accused of violating the order and arrested. This is an opportunity, and here again, folks, God bless these police officers, but frankly, maybe we ought to start training every police officer on the Constitution so that when their leadership gets beside themselves, they can say, well, now, wait a minute, well, the training we got on the Constitution, that I think that's a questionable action, don't you? Particularly when you're not talking about arresting bad guys, you're not talking about people who are a threat to others, who are trying to hurt other people. You're talking about a guy out with his wife and his daughter recreating, which was allowed under the state, but you know they didn't name that particular recreation, playing t-ball, and they arrest him at a park. So folks, both on the macro level with this whole Bill Gates and we're going to start putting microchips in people and we're going to really help everybody out by being able to identify them, and at the macro level there and at the micro level in parks and on roads and people just being out and in some places where jurisdictions have gone. I had a friend call me, actually texted me, and told me that the police came by his church. Now, they've been having outside services in their cars. Said the police came by his church and told them they couldn't do that. And he said, well, wait a minute. He said, my understanding is we can. We're observing, you know, the guidelines. And they said, no, you can't. You can't. You can't even have an outside service with people in their cars. But that's coming down from the administration. So, folks, yeah, we've got to get a handle on this stuff before we do end up in a worst case scenario than the virus itself.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
I had just sat down on a bench on the sidewalk to rest a minute. I was talking with a friend about some things of mutual interest, and then he came along. I didn't know him, but my friend did. and he and my friend began a conversation. He was old, and his face showed the wrinkles of many years of hard work. His clothes were shabby. In his hand, he carried a carton of soft drink bottles. I was unsure if he intended to purchase some soft drinks or if he was collecting the bottles for the deposit refund. The conversation between him and my friend had not been going very long until he began speaking of the power and love of God. "The Lord is good to us," he said. "He'll take care of us. That's what he promised." As he spoke, I thought about what the Galilean had said about the lowly and meek and poor. "The Lord," he said, "he's sure been good to me." I know he couldn't have placed his hand on $50 if he had to, but he could speak and be truthful in speaking about the goodness of God. As he continued, he said, "The Lord, he don't put no more on us than we can bear." He was black. He knew years and years of discrimination and rejection. He knew what it was to be mocked and ridiculed and slighted because he was black. I carefully observed him now, curious as to the type of individual willing to tell a total stranger about how good the Lord had been to him. As my eyes went down his slim frame, I saw that he was very badly deformed. One leg was twisted in. It was a handicap which made it difficult to walk, and yet he never mentioned it. Hardly knew that that leg wasn't as good as his other. "The Lord, he will do what he promised," he said. "I got my ticket. It's a one-way ticket going straight to that glory land. They ain't going to find me in that other place. They locked the door behind you down there. No, sir, I'm going straight to glory." You could tell that he was looking forward to that, to glory. There was no hate in his heart. He didn't know much theology, but he sure had a lot of doxology. Poor, old, ignorant, physically handicapped, discriminated against, but all he wanted to talk about was how good God had been to him. "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Years ago, the old black gentleman had discovered the truth of those words. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." He knew that too. He knew whom he had trusted and was sure of where he was headed. The shepherd of men once remarked, "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." In heaven, I would imagine that that old black gentleman would be invited to sit at the head of the table in the honor seat. Knowing his nature, he will be surprised when the Lord requests that he move up to that high position. The Lord had been good to him, and he was grateful. It's a shame more of us don't feel the same gratitude.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back, folks. I'd love to take your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. And maybe some of you had heard about this. I had not heard about this. These digital tattoos and implants and this ID 2020 project. But apparently, behind the scenes, they are making moves to try to use this coronavirus as an opportunity to insert these things into the bodies of people so that they can track their progress on the virus itself. And so make of that what you will. I find it absolutely chilling. You know, as ex-Prime Minister Gordon Brown, Prime Minister, former Prime Minister of Great Britain, of course, who's been calling for a global government. He's been saying we need a global government to deal with this. And by the way, the UN is completely supportive of this digital tracking system, having implants in people's bodies. The UN is completely behind that. In fact, as you all remember, the Sustainable Development Project of the UN, also called Agenda 21. Well, that's what's supporting this whole process. That's still in effect. They're still pushing that wicked antichrist agenda of trying to control Americans and trying to control everybody, really. and now they are supporting this effort to actually create an implanted ID that can go in people. Right now, the excuse is, well, for the coronavirus, it'll help us to track them. But when it was started, Bill Gates didn't start it for that. He started it because he said a billion people in the world have no digital ID, and this will give them one so that they can have a digital ID from the time they are born until the time they die. Thank you very much, Mr. Gates. We really appreciate your concern and compassion to make sure that we can be tracked from cradle to grave. No, thank you. But again, the former British Prime Minister says this is not something that can be dealt with one country. There has to be a coordinated global response. And he says, even if it's temporary, we need a one world government for this. Folks, I'll tell you what, Rahm Emanuel, he obviously spoke words for leftists to live by. Never let a good crisis go to waste. And they are definitely not letting it go to waste. So look, I want to encourage all of you, please be prayerful. And would you all do me a favor and raise these constitutional issues with your friends, with family? A lot of people misunderstand. They think that, well, if you do that, then you're not really taking the virus seriously. No, folks, I said before, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can deal with this health crisis, this medical crisis, if you want to call it that. I think it's an overblown crisis, but nevertheless, we can deal with it and have respect for the fact that we are a constitutional republic and that our freedoms are not vitiated, they are not canceled, they are not invalidated because we happen to be in a crisis. And we've seen attempts to do that. Close the gun stores. Basically put people under house arrest. But wait a minute. Whatever you do, keep the abortion clinics open. Don't let those close. Oh my goodness gracious, because clearly we've got to keep killing babies. We can't let a crisis get in the way of that. But everything else, just close her down. And everybody kind of get used to simply obeying, okay? And let me make something clear, folks. This is why I so honor and love this president. You know, he was pushed to try to issue an order. But the president cited the Constitution and said, we've issued guidelines. We're going to leave it at that. Because I think he understands the constitutional issue with the government giving orders to civilians, giving orders to just ordinary citizens. And I think for the most part, most citizens have obeyed, even where citizens have been cited, like this father arrested and this woman who got a $200 fine and probably instances like that all over the country. My pastor friend who called me and said the police got on him about having outside services. I think all of these things are happening because of overzealousness, not because the citizens themselves are being irresponsible or doing things that are intended to say, I don't care about the health crisis. They're doing things that are reasonable and rational. And then having the whip cracked on them for it because these government officials, these elected officials have taken it upon themselves to assume power that they do not have. So it's going to take after this thing has passed, it's going to take the sort of the clear-eyed look in the rearview mirror to see just how far we've gone. And I think to have some mea culpas and some people saying, you know what, we went too far and never, ever are we going to allow this kind of thing to happen again. We'll deal with the crisis in a different way. The number again is 888-589-8840. Let's get to your calls. Wow, we've got an anonymous. Welcome. Thanks for calling. Are you there? Oops, I guess not. Let's go to Janet in Illinois. Janet, welcome. Uh-oh. Okay, I think I'm having problems. Can you all help me? Pardon? Okay, yes, please do. Thank you, Jason. Yes. because my it looks like my own control board is not working properly here. All right, Mary, you're on. Mary from Mississippi, welcome.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm blessed, Mary, and I'm praying. So, what's okay, on your mind today?
Yes, we do have to do that exactly, Mr. Jackson. You are wonderful, and I thank, like I said, I thank the Lord for you and Donald Trump to unveil all this Antichrist. And you are exactly on target on what the Lord All-Powerful has told me this about 10 years ago. This is, I want to read this. This is a test from the Antichrist China to bully, or any Antichrist or communist, to bully Christ out our lives. Why? To prove to all human beings and themselves and Almighty God that they are more powerful than the Creator. And how? To accomplish this by their crown and God, their God, which is fear. For what purpose? To obtain and control what? Your mind. Human beings' ultimate power and priceless is their minds.
Well, Mary, listen, I think you have said a lot there, and you know, that's what the Lord has spoken to you. I think it's consistent with what a lot of us are feeling right now. There's no question. I said it, the spirit of Antichrist is alive and well in the world today. But you know what? He will never defeat us, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Thank you for the call, Mary. Let's go to, can we go to Tommy? Tommy, you're on. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing today? I tell you, I got so much information, my head's about to explode. But this came to me last night. The same thing you was talking about at the beginning of the show. Bill Gates and Chris Wallace was on last weekend on Channel 6, ABC, or no, it was Fox 28, part of ABC. Down over here in Ohio, but you know, who better to have their prediction come true but the guy who made it? I mean, come on, did he make the flu shot that they gave me and what I believe tried to kill me for wearing a Trump hat? But that's beside the point. But look at what they're doing. They're keeping people 6 feet apart so they can't talk, so they can't communicate with each other. They're shutting down truth, Bishop. This is crazy. We need to get a hold of this, or this is going to get way out of control.
I agree, Tommy. Thank you so much for the call. Folks, stand by. We'll be back in a moment.
There's a level of expectation people have, and there's a level of understanding that makes them think this is just the way it is, and it's the way it has to be, and there's not much more we can do about it.
Love is a choice, and sometimes we have to make a daily decision to love our spouse, as Dr. Ron Welch explains on Focus on the Family Minute.
Choice theory says that in every single situation, you have opportunities. God created us to be a certain kind of person in His image, and we can act in that image if we so choose, or we can act not to. And so what I've done in my understanding of choice theory is to apply that to how couples make choices. Whether it's getting up in the morning and deciding today I'm gonna honor my wife, I'm gonna look at her in the face and tell her how beautiful she is, and I'm gonna try to be a person that will honor and respect and love my partner, or I'm gonna be someone who will honor and respect and love my wife or my husband in a way that is more about me than about them.
Choose to love your spouse. More from Ron at familyminute.org.
This is Franklin Graham. As news about the coronavirus seems to worsen, many people are feeling overwhelmed, anxious, even fearful. We want to help. At the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, we have a prayer line that's open 24/7. We have staff who would love to speak with you, pray with you, Remember, God loves you.
Call 1-888-388-2683. That's 1-888-388-2683. Or visit billygraham.org.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Yeah, folks, look, we Americans care about our neighbors, and we want people to do well. I've said that many times. I think that's been demonstrated again and again throughout our history. But, you know, when I trust the collective judgment of the American people. And, well, you know, there's kind of just a feeling. You just get this sense that something is very, very wrong here, and it's not quite what meets the eye. And when you get a broad consensus of feeling that way among a lot of people, to me, that's something to pay attention to. I think that's why the founding fathers placed the sovereignty of this country in the hands of the American people, because they felt that the American people are always going to get it much better and much closer to right than any particular leader would at any given moment, or any particular set of leaders would at any given moment. And right now, I think what the American people are feeling is a sense of misgiving that this thing, while again, a real disease, that its origins are a big question, and China's involvement is a big question, the degree to which it's being used as a bludgeon to try to destroy President Trump is a big question, and the degree to which it's being used to advance a totalitarian, socialist, communist, Marxist agenda as using the virus as an excuse for the imposition of tremendous control and power over Americans, all of that, I think, is beginning to disturb a lot of people, a lot of people. And I think our leaders better pay attention to that. I think particularly these mayors and governors who are beside themselves with all their control and power now over people and telling police to arrest people and all this crazy stuff, I think they better get a handle on it, as one caller was just saying. Okay, let's go back to your calls. Let's go to Isabella of Missouri. Isabella, welcome. Isabella, you are on.
Yes, sir. I was just calling to make a comment. Our church, we are in Missouri. I'm not going to say the county, but we abide by our 6-foot laws, and we're the only church that is still meeting in our vicinity. And the other night, my family and the pastor's family was the last ones leaving. And we was both followed home by county police drones to ensure that we was home by our curfew.
There's a curfew. Wait a minute, there's a curfew in your county?
Yes, sir.
What time is it?
We are on from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. And I made it known to the police station. I called them, and I told them I wanted their drone removed from the top of my house because it hovered for about an hour after we had got home, and we was home on time. And I kind of got a smart alecky response from the police station. I told them it's an invasion of privacy and I wanted it gone. And it wouldn't move. And about 30 minutes after I got the phone with them, not only was that one still there, but they brought two more in. And that troubled me a lot. And so I just want to encourage others that are still having church and stuff to be watchful, you know, because we don't know what crazy mess is going on if we're oblivious to watching our surroundings and watching who's watching us as well. And the police station, they knew exactly what church I had come from. They knew exactly where I lived without me making any mentions of an exact address. And so I was just a little troubled by it.
Well, Isabella, I'm troubled hearing it. And, you know, you may have heard me say a little earlier, one of the things that we've got to begin to do is we got to train these police officers in the Constitution, not just in terms of making arrests of criminals, but when things like this come up and they're told to treat citizens a certain way, we want these police officers to be very, very sensitive to what the Constitution allows them to do, because after all, they're there to guard the rights and liberties of law-abiding citizens against criminals who would take advantage of us. And when the state starts telling them, no, 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 the citizen is your problem, and you need to go out and rein these citizens in, police officers have got to begin to say, whoa, wait a minute, that's not what we signed up for. So, Isabella, we will be praying for you and for Missouri. And the other thing I would say, folks, I don't see the point of these curfews. I just don't see the point. I mean, if you are out by yourself or you're out and you're observing the proper, the regulatory, the recommended, not ordered, the recommended 6-foot distancing and groups not larger than 10, well, whose business is it whether you come home at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or midnight or 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. or 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m.? Whose business is it? It shouldn't be anybody's business as long as you're following these guidelines. But this is what I mean. This is vast overreaching. Let's go next to Bill in Mississippi. Bill in Mississippi. Bill, welcome.
How are you doing, Bishop?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you?
I'm blessed, and you're one of my blessings. I want to thank you, sir, for your service to the Lord and for your service to our country, your continuing service to our country, I might add.
Thank you, sir.
Two things about Mr. Gates. Number one, he has invested a ton of money in Dr. Fauci's laboratory services, medical services, whatever, in the development of the vaccine, which with the God complex that the two of them share, I believe is basically just wanting to cut back on the use of hydrochloroquine or whatever you want to call that stuff.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to curtail that use to get their vaccine on the market. My understanding is they are the closest U.S. company to having something, so that we'll have a Gates-Fauci vaccine that'll be famous forever. Secondly, Mr. Gates and his implants/tattoos, we've known for many, many years that this day was coming. It is disturbing to live through it. We've got to continue to put our trust in God. And again, amen. I want to thank you for encouraging people to do just exactly that. And one other little minor thing that I haven't brought up is that the use of this hydroxychloroquine in conjunction with azithromycin and zinc has proven to work. And although a lot of doctors are reluctant to use it, the legislature did pass a bill, which President Trump signed, that gives us the right to try. Those that aren't aware of that,
how about that, Bill? How about that? Say, Bill, thanks so much for the call, Bill. And you are absolutely right. Once again, President Trump, President Trump strikes back and does something as he, here again, common sense. If a person is sick, if they're potentially dying, then they've got a right to try whatever we think or they think will help them. And that same analysis could be applied to hydroxychloroquine. So Absolutely. Let's go to Thomas, also in Mississippi. A lot of Mississippi folks. Thomas, welcome. Okay, Thomas, you're on.
Hey, thanks a lot for taking my call. I appreciate what you do. Make a comment before I bring out what I wanted to say, if I could. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future.
Amen.
I'm a Christian, and I'm thankful that I am. So,
praise God.
But what I wanted to get your thoughts about was with Biden and some of the other Democratic leaders in the news media, they're pushing voting by mail in November instead of going to the polls.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the easiest way for the Democrats to cheat and win the election. And I can't see that they'd be able to do that. Would it have to be done some way and signed by the president, or do you know?
Well, see, the thing is, Thomas, voting is controlled by the – or is it David? Am I with David? No, I'm with Thomas. Voting is controlled by the states. And really, the president and the legislature could try to take some control. I'm sure there'd be a battle. But that's why you've got so much what they call ballot harvesting, you know, ballots just appearing out of whole cloth and you know, they were in somebody's trunk and they were in somebody's bedroom and suddenly, how many votes do you need to win? Oh, we found just that number. I mean, this kind of stuff is going on all over the country where they have mail-in ballots. And you're right, that is a major problem. And look, I think these states that are controlled by leftists will go there because it is a perfect opportunity to cheat. And folks, let me just say this unequivocally and without apology. All of this stuff of no voter ID and voting by mail and early voting, it is for one reason and one reason only, so that Democrats can cheat on these elections and steal them. That's right. I said it and I mean it, because that's exactly what they've got in mind. I get insulted every time I hear this nonsense. Well, you know, minorities have a hard time getting ID. How? Who? I mean, what a minority so stupid that they can't get an ID like anybody else can? And I mean, think of how condescendingly and disgustingly racist that is. That's not what they're concerned about. They're concerned about interfering with the ability to cheat. That's what they really want to do. So, yeah, the states control it. And these conservative governors ought to know that, and they ought to make sure they put things in place to make sure that cannot happen. But these leftists, they're going to try. So we better be praying, and we better be getting out there and voting, folks, so that we can overcome even their lying and their cheating. Okay, let's go to let's go to David now. Let's go to David. David, welcome.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Thank you, Bishop, and we appreciate everything that you do. And all that was something that I heard about 20 years ago, and it really got my attention. And all, and it was a scientist that come to Tupelo. It was Tupelo Church of God 20 years ago, and he was pleading with the people and telling the people that there was a chip that actually he helped make. And he said if that wasn't the chip that, you know, to turn into
David,
Antichrist,
David,
another
call,
chip
David,
would come
call
out.
Me, yes. Call me back again tomorrow, David. I lost track of the clock. I got your point about the chip. Call me back again tomorrow. We'll finish the discussion. Folks, in the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.